This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. This, I know, will ring just a little bit hollow, coming as it does from a guy wearing blue jeans, but we just don't dress as well as we used to back in the day. And I'm talking way back here, too, the 1930s, which was, despite the Great Depression, the height of innovation in fashion and design. That's the subject of a new book called Elegance in an Age of Crisis, co-edited by Patricia Meir. She is the deputy director of the museum at the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City. Patricia, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
You are the subject matter expert on this one, so I will grant your thesis that the 30s were the time when modern clothing came to pass. But why? What happened?
It's an interesting confluence of a whole lot of events. First of all, it sat right after, very closely after, World War I, which is a huge revolutionary period that really upended culture and society. Also, there was a lot of technical innovation going on in things related to clothing, mainly with textiles. And then I think also a sort of creative spirit amongst those in the fashion industry, wanting to keep their companies going, keep their employees going. And even for the poorest people, there was a really strong effort to try and dress well. Even if you only had one shirt, you would have that shirt perfect.
We will talk mostly, I imagine, about women in this interview because that's what the book is. But I want to start with the men and Fred Astaire. You can never get enough Fred Astaire. And there's a great picture of him. I think he's, getting off an airplane or something. And you look at the trousers. They are high-waisted. You look at the coat is a little looser. You know, I mean, it was a very distinct 1930s look.
Absolutely. And he really was called the modern man. And the brilliant thing about the Hollywood stars, the men in particular, is that they drove their own look. Women were costumed. Clothes were made in studios. But the men went and got bespoke tailored clothing. And Fred Astaire was a great client of firms like Anderson and Shepard. He would dance up and down the hallways to make sure that they fit properly. So the fact that he was a dancer and that movement was so important and that also he was on the big screen, he understood the importance of a properly proportioned garment, I think was one of the reasons why his style has such resonance today and why there is such an incredible level of ease about the way he dressed.
It does, I will confess, make me want to go out and spend a whole bunch of money on clothes and start wearing nicer clothes. But then I remember I'm in radio and it sort of doesn't matter. So, you know. There are all kinds of designer names in this book, as you would expect be. But there's one that I had never heard before. And I wanted to ask you why, because she's a little bit all over this book. Her name is Madeleine Vionnet. Who was she?
Many people consider her to be the greatest couturier of the 20th century. And in a certain way, shame on us, we fashion historians, because we haven't done a good enough job to put her properly in context. Vionnet was probably the most brilliant technician in modern fashion history. And she used geometry and mathematical calculations to create clothing that were so beautiful, balanced, and proportioned that she really created almost a new oeuvre or arm of cloth making.
Is it possible to say, or is it appropriate to say, that the Depression sort of helped the American apparel business, as it were? Because it's not like somebody who was out of a job was going to go to Paris for their clothing, right?
Yeah, and I think what it also helped was lead to certain types of creativity. For example, one of the greatest menswear magazines ever, Apparel Arts, was launched in 1931, first as a sales tool. But the magazine was so beautiful and influential, it eventually was sold to the general public and became Esquire magazine.
Oh.
So this concept of how to promote clothing, how to continue to be creative, was something that was really important. And the United States was already the great fashion machine, if you will. We were not as well known for artistic fashion, but many other areas we were so highly innovative in.
Patricia Meir is deputy director of the museum at the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York. She is the co-editor with her colleague Bruce Boyer of a book called Elegance in an Age of Crisis: Fashions of the 1930s. Thanks very much for your time.
Oh, thank you so much.